Proverbs chapter 22, the first verse, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. For several weeks now, I've just been really meditating on this topic of favor. And the Bible speaks of it in several places. Well, on Wednesday night, I don't do an exhaustive sermon, so I thought what I would do tonight is give you something on this topic of favor, loving favor. And then on another Wednesday night, give you a little bit more on the topic, because there's so many things about it. But notice what Solomon said. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Well, he had both. And he said, if you had to choose between one or the other, you're better off to have a good name than you are to have great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. You know, it doesn't appear that our people, I'm talking about humans, are more concerned about a good name than they are about riches. They'll cutthroat to get their hands on some money. They'll do just about anything to get a buck if that's what's needed. But what we do notice is that a lot of people who are concerned about money are not concerned about cultivating favor with God. All right, so let's put it in our context. You guys aren't down here chasing a buck and cutthroat and all that. That's not this crowd. But you do have to work. And when you work, you earn the money that's necessary for you to be able to pay your bills. And what we can derive from what we're reading here is that we need to spend quality time with the Lord to be in His favor, and not all of our time exhausting ourselves in the work that we have to do to pay our bills. You know, I think about that. I realize how hard it is to, many times, get the food on the table. But we have to spend that time to stay in good favor with God. We cannot let the need for riches or silver and gold to pay bills to take us out of what's necessary for us to invest in our relationship with God to have favor with Him. We have to concern ourselves with that. So one of the outstanding characteristics of some of the most outstanding people in the Bible is they had favor with God. And the most notable, of course, would be His own Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says about Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Can you imagine Jesus Christ, God and the man, manifest in the flesh, increasing in favor with God? Not as if He didn't already have enough. So He's really, He is dedicating Himself, you know, to those times of prayer and necessary to have that favor. And when He grew in favor with God, He grew in favor with man. You know, sometimes people want to build up wealth so that they can have favor with men. It draws attention to themselves. Oh, did you know so-and-so? He's been very successful in such and such a business. And we oftentimes associate successful men and their names with their businesses, right? If I say Microsoft, you know who I'm talking about, all right? So what the Lord did is He put Himself in a situation where He was increasing with favor with God, and when He did, He increased in favor with man. So when I think about this, I think this. You know, it's very important for us to be careful in courting favor with men more than courting favor with God. If you have favor with God, you'll grow in favor with men, and more importantly, you'll grow in favor with the men God wants you to grow in favor with, and you won't be courting favor with those you don't need to be courting favor with. All right, Mary was another one. The angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." And that's a remarkable testimony for a young woman. David found favor before the Lord when he decided he wanted to build the tabernacle. Daniel was in favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Abraham said, "My Lord, if now I've found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." And Samuel had favor with the Lord. The child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men, just like Jesus Christ. Now that's remarkable. Samuel, Abraham, Daniel, David, Mary, Jesus, those are some of the most notable personalities in the Bible. And what's notable about them is their favor with God. The question is, how do you have favor with God? Because if it's that important, we know what it takes to make money. You go get an education, you work hard, you advance, you don't spend everything you make, and so forth and so on. So we have some idea about that. But how do you grow in favor with God? If we can find testimony in the Bible about what it takes to have favor with God, then we're going to be able to find what it is to have, that thing, whatever it is, then that will give us the favor with God. And there are a number of things. I'm going to give you one of them tonight. Just one. You're like, wow, this is going to be quick. Yeah, but it's important. Turn with me to Psalm 5. Psalm 5. And look at verse 12. One verse, one thought. I mean, the thought is favor with God. Look at this. Psalm 5, verse 12. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. That's a tremendous testimony. Now, with Christians, you know, the thing that we have to recognize, and I think you do, is that our righteousness that we have today was a gift to us. Right? That righteousness came when we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Bible says God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When our sin is on Jesus Christ, which it was at Calvary, and we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, He imputes His righteousness to us. You know, the neat thing about that is, then you don't have to pretend to be righteous around each other. The worst thing that people can do is to pretend to be right when they're wrong. That's hypocrisy. And the problem is the Lord is the one that understands whether you are yielding to the righteousness that you've been given or whether you're pretending to have a righteousness that is hiding unrighteousness within. We know from Romans chapter 6 that we are to yield ourselves as servants to righteousness, servants to God. So that righteousness is in us. We have an armor. Paul talked about the whole armor of God. And he said here, with favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Do you know that we have a breastplate? And that breastplate in our armor is called the breastplate of righteousness. When I think about that breastplate of righteousness, this is what I see. I see that God has given us the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we allow that righteousness to permeate our being, when we yield ourselves to His righteousness within us, when we are right as He is right because of His righteousness in us, that righteousness comes out on us like a shield, like a breastplate. And so when we're tempted to not do right by a temptation of the flesh or from the inside or from the devil on the outside or something from the world on the outside, they don't get you because the righteousness is part of you. It comes from within. It comes from the Lord God. And God, when He sees that in you, knowing that you're not pretending righteousness to disguise unrighteousness, but rather that you're yielded to His righteousness and the righteousness is protecting you, He looks at that and says, I find favor with that. That I find favor with that. So it's a two-way, in other words, with favor wilt thou compass him with a shield. Why? Because he's blessing the righteous. There's nothing better for us than to be right as he is right, or to allow that righteousness in us to shield us. And then you have favor with God. Look in Psalm 11. You know, tonight you spent some money. The Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver, right? And what did Christine McLaughlin say the other night? She said, I know that God loves you because you you love to give. And you do. Right? Now, let me ask you a question. Does God love all his children? Yeah, there's undoubtedly. But does he love you in a special way when you're a cheerful giver? Evidently so, because Paul wouldn't have written that. Well, look what Psalm 11 verse 7 says in context of what we're discussing tonight. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Tonight we are blessed to have the teens in here with us for prayer meeting, because Tony and Shannon are celebrating Thanksgiving with Kelly. I think they're up in Fredericksburg tonight. So glad you guys are here with us. I want to tell you something that I was thinking about today when I was praying for you. When I was your age, I first heard the gospel. I was raised in a different kind of church. I wasn't raised in this. I was raised in a Catholic church. So there was a lot that I had to learn. And at my age, I'm still learning. But I'll say something. When I was your age, I was challenged by this. And I'm telling you this because I believe that it's probably a challenge for you as well. I was challenged on the one hand to be godly. There was something about God that was drawing me. And on the other hand, I was a teenager. And there were things about the world that were drawing me. And you know something? You can't serve two masters. One or the other of those is going to prevail. If you love one, you're going to hate the other. If you yield to one, you're going to despise the other. And those will challenge you. And there's somebody in this world that knows how to tip that balance in the favor of yielding to worldliness. And he does an awfully good job of very subtly tricking you and deceiving you into thinking that because you go to church, you're all right, even though this is going on in the inside. Well, the Bible says the Lord, the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. He is not nearly as concerned about how you act as who you are. Let me say it again. The Lord is not nearly as concerned about how you act around others as who you are. It is so much better to be righteous than to act righteous. Okay? It's so much better. Because if you are righteous, even though you are challenged like all of us are with leaning this way or leaning this way, if you really are righteous and you yield to his righteousness, two things will happen. Number one, that righteousness is going to lead you to do right things when you want to do wrong. But the second thing is, when you choose to do right instead of to do wrong, the Lord looks down and says, I love that. I love righteousness. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. He looks at that and he goes, I know that was a struggle to make that decision. And that's how you find favor with God. And when you have favor with God, he brings you into favor like he did his son, like he did Samuel, with men. I know it's a challenge when you're a teenager. You're thinking, oh, I wonder if I'll have a mate, and I wonder who my mate is going to be. Listen, if you have favor with God and he brings you into favor with men, he's going to bring you to the right person. And you don't have to worry about stepping into the world and going in at it a wrong way. Having favor with God is so important. I cannot overemphasize it. Solomon said it's way more important than worrying about how you're going to make a living. It's way more important than the silver and gold. It's way more important than the great riches. So dedicate your time to it. Dedicate your time to righteousness, yielding to righteousness. Let him shield you with his righteousness, and let him behold that you're upright. To have favor with God, if you consider the company you'll be keeping with the characters we talked about in the Bible, you'll be glad you made those choices. We all will. So you listen to Solomon. A good name is better than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. You court favor with God. How? By righteousness. To be continued. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful tonight to be encouraged in a singular and most important point. I'm begging you, please help us all with this. How much I need it, how much we all need it. I am asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, bless the preaching of your word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.